Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just going to quickly review what we talked about this morning in regard to defiance of authority, the mark of the last days, the rise of the religious rebel, I think is another title we could use for this message, because we find that this is a testimony of the visible church during the last days before Jesus Christ returns. What will the church look like? Well, this chapter 3 tells us what it's going to be like. It's not going to be what we think it is. It's going to be something that's very different, and we're seeing the stage being set for that even now. As we see the apostasy deepening, as we're seeing where the old-time religion now is the old-time religion. I mean, it's just, it's ancient. It's way past us now. We're in the new-time religion, and the book is not being followed. There are books about the book that are being followed that are not true to the book. There are books that are being penned and written and off the presses every week. There are new books that are coming out, and they will have truth mixed with error. And people don't know what the Bible says anymore. They don't know what it has to say. They know what people have said about the Bible. Oh, that's got a bunch of old-fashioned stuff in there, and we don't follow that anymore. We just follow the new stuff that's out there. And we need to understand the times in which we are living. We need to know where we are in biblical prophecy. We need to understand and know that our Lord, the trumpet could sound at any moment. There's not any prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the trumpet sounds. The stage is being set. The trump will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the events of the earth during that seven-year tribulation will be horrible. It'll be unbelievable. The tragedy and the horrors as God pours out His wrath upon this earth, the devil sets up his Antichrist to rule and reign here upon the earth, who deceives the nations. The false prophet says, "This is the Christ, this is the Messiah, the promised one." And the whole world begins to follow after and worship him. And then finally he turns against Israel in the middle of that seven-year period and throws out the peace pact that he had made with that. And they seek to systematically destroy and wipe Israel off of the face of the earth. And then the Lord comes back riding on that white horse with the words. Anybody know what the words are? The Word of God. That's what's inscribed on the banner that's upon His horse as He rides to destroy. We will not be fighting. That's going to be the Lord's doing and Him alone. He will fight the battle of Armageddon alone. We will witness what takes place, but we're not going to be doing the fighting. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to take care of that. And what a day that will be. And then He will come to Jerusalem. He will touch down there in those days following the Battle of Armageddon, and He is going to establish His rule and reign. That is not fiction. That is fact. The world tells you it's fiction. A lot of our Bible colleges now are saying, "Oh, that's all fiction." But it's the truth because God said so in His book. If the Bible is the authority in your life, you don't have a problem with that. If it's not, then you've got a problem with it because it doesn't fit with the current society of our day. Now, this morning we talked about that this defiance that we are seeing today in the church is a defiance that has its roots, first of all, in self-love. There's no accident that self-esteem is the number one topic. American public school children lead the world in self-esteem. Did you know that? Now, we don't do very well when it comes to reading, writing, and arithmetic. China, Japan, Korea, they are the one. Germany, those children are leading the world in all those kind of subjects. But America's students, we have something that we can honk our horn about. We have got the highest self-esteem of all the nations of the world, self-love. Now, I don't think that's something that we ought to be bragging about. That tells us that where we are in the midst of our society, of course, Europe is right behind the United States with its concepts of self-love and self-esteem that are very similar to what we see here in the United States. But the defiance of biblical authority has its roots in self-love. Where there is self-love, there is no room for biblical authority. Because you see, who is the source of all authority? In whom does all authority reside? Let's put it that way, Jesus Christ. When He was ascended and glorified, all authority was given to Him. All authority was given to Him. He is the ruler of this world. He is Lord. I'm disturbed when I hear so many people, this Lordship salvation is starting to come back again. It was in the 1980s that we had it. It's making another revisitation where people are saying, you know, when people get saved, you know, they only know Jesus as Savior and they don't know anything about Him being Lord. I want to tell you something. Now, they may not understand it, but they will immediately come to know who's Lord and Master. I think a lot of the nonsense that we have going on in the church is because we don't own Him as Lord. We're still in charge. Jesus is like a patch we stuck on. I just add Him to my list of people that I think are most admired. You know, like Time Magazine puts out the 10 most admired personalities of 2010. That'll be coming out here in December, you know. And we got all these lists of movie stars I don't understand. Can you understand that? We've got all these movie stars and rock singers and people that you wouldn't want to be around them for more than 5 minutes, and you'd have enough of their wicked lifestyle, of their obnoxious pride, and yet they're the top people that are our people. They're the people we put up there as far as our personalities that we follow. Well, self-love, defiance of authority are all rooted in these things. Secondly, I shared with you that the defying of authority begins, it starts, it's in its embryo form, where? In the home. It's the defiance of authority in the home. Defiance of mom and dad. That's the embryo nature and how it works. We shared this, that the home is the basic unit of all society. When the home crumbles, the church crumbles. Did you know that? The church crumbles. And civil government crumbles. We're seeing that all around the world, where the home is being destroyed because we've left the Bible foundation. Now it's possible in some places in our country here for men to marry men, women to marry women. If you want to marry your pet, you can do that. And marriage doesn't mean what the Bible says it means. It doesn't matter that God was the one that performed the first marriage ceremony and that He wrote the first vows. Now they're conducting classes on university campuses on how to write your own marriage vows. And you know what's eliminated? Any reference to God. Any reference to obedience and submission. Any reference to those kind of things, because those are archaic and old. Yes, that was the glue of marriages. And we got rid of it. We've gotten rid of the glue. You see, God laid out the roles of husband and wife and laid out the spheres of authority and how things were going to work, and that's the only way it works. God was the inventor of marriage. Don't you think the inventor knows how it works? How stupid of me to walk out there to a nuclear power plant and say, "Hey guys, y'all been doing it all wrong all these years. Last night, I slept at a Holiday Inn. And I just, something came over to me, and I figured out how protons and electrons, and Einstein had it all wrong." And they would laugh me out of the building. "Call security and get this clown out of here. I don't know anything about nuclear power and how those things work. How foolish it would be." And yet we tell God, "God, you were foolish to how you set marriage up. It doesn't work that way down here, don't you know? We've got a new and better way to do it. We're going to pair men with men and women with women and animals with people." Isn't it interesting that those were the things for which in the Old Testament you could be stoned to death? That's how God felt about that. Let me tell you something. You better not mess with God's marriage vows. You better not mess with God's marriage program, because that is the basic unit of how society works. And we've messed with it in the United States of America. Let me tell you something. People hate marriage because they hate God. People hate marriage because they hate the Word of God. They don't like authority. That's why we're having the issues that we do. The defying of authority begins with the defiance of parental authority. This has been going on for a long time in the United States of America. Began in the late 1950s, early 1960s with the rise of rock and roll music and the defiance of authority. And then you had the Love Children of the 1960s and the defiance of any kind of home authority. Don't do what your parents say. That was a common theme. Whatever the old bag says, don't obey her. Whatever the old fogey says, they don't know us. We got a generation gap. I remember that because I grew up in the 1960s. There wasn't any kind of a generation gap. The problem was hatred of authority. And you know why? Because people started following Dr. Spock's books on how to raise children. You can go back and trace it. All those books that came out in the late 1950s, 1955, 1956, on how you train your children, those were the children that grew up with the psychology books, and they came to the teenage years in the 1960s. Anybody want to go back and relive that? I want to tell you something. It's a scar on American culture. It's a scar on American culture. Isn't it interesting that those same teenagers today are the conservatives? Some of them have come out of that and realized what fools they were, abusing drugs, alcohol. Listen, folks, there's no satisfaction in any of that. When you find defiance of home authority, mom and dad, you've got a rebel in the making. And as a parent, you need to deal with it biblically, or you're going to shoot a child out of your home that's going to be destructive to the church. It's going to be a person that's destructive to civil government. Our prisons are full of them. They're filling up the prisons with people that have no character. They don't know how to obey. They challenge the authority. You get challenged probably several times a week. Simple instruction. It's time for breakfast. They got a special section over here when Mr. Watt and I were doing our training with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. They were telling about this annex section up here at the thing where they put the worst criminals. And they're the ones that throw feces and sling their food out. I mean, it's just awful and terrible. Why? They were a generation that were reared without discipline. And so they don't know how to act and don't have to. They're like animals. That's what they were taught in the public school. You're nothing more than advanced forms of animals. Not even advanced in some places. That's where we are. Folks, you need to watch out for this. You need to deal with it. While children are little, deal with that defiance of authority, because that's where they come from. They're shot out of the homes all around the world. Defiant ones. And they're the ones that go to church. And they mold the church to their image. That's what the Bible says here. Without natural affection, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, proud, blasphemers, boasters, covetous. These aren't God-like qualities, but they are the qualities of the end-time church. That's the qualities of what you'll see there. Thirdly, tonight, the defiance spreads beyond the quote-unquote Christian home to society through, now get this, through education. Notice this, please, in verses 2 through 4. We've already read verse 2 and verse 3. Notice verse 4. Traitors, notice this one, heady. What's headiness? Professorial. Kind of remind you of someone. I won't say his name. Professorial, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Skip on down here to verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. Now what is that? That's going to school. Education. Basically what it is, it's tares teaching tares how to be good tares. That's what you have today in the church. Tares teaching tares on how to be a good religious tare. You know, when we find that in the last time that the husbandman of the field goes and he separates the wheat from the tares and he burns the tares. He burns the tares. Defiance spreads through education. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and as a general description, I think, of the church today. That's my opinion of the church in general. All right, we're talking about the religious hierarchy of the church. They are resistant to truth. I was talking not too long ago with the gentleman that comes out here and sprays the bugs, and he said, "I changed your bug spray." I said, "You did?" That's the kind of conversations I have during the day. I get a break from the other conversations about baseball. I get to talk about pest control. And we were in there talking about pest control. And he said, "Yeah, I changed your pest control stuff that we're using." I said, "Well, why'd you do that?" He said, "Well, it looks like they're resistant to what I've been using." And I said, "Yes, sir, I think you're right. We have to change." They've built up over time a resistance to a chemical that would normally kill them. Isn't that interesting? You realize, boys and girls and young people, that if you sit in church for a long period of time and you never act on the gospel, you never cry out to God and say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake," you never come to the place where you abhor your sin and you repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that over time you'll become resistant to the truth. And it'll be like pouring water on top of a duck's back. I did that one time just because I'd heard that growing up all the time. I was down there at Carpenter's Park. I grabbed me a glass of water and I went and dumped it on one of those ducks. I know the duck thought I was a crazy knucklehead, but I wanted to see how water rolled off of a duck's back. And it does. You know why? Because it's got oil in its feathers. It's got oil in its feathers. That water just rolls right off the back of a duck. He can sit there and get himself wet all day long and it just rolls right off of him and he's dry. And I'm afraid for our children. Are you? Are you afraid for our children today growing up in churches all across America that are resistant to the truth? They've sat through so many services and never acted upon the truth of God's Word. The Holy Spirit was calling. The Holy Spirit was working. And they just, like a match on the ground, they just kind of put it out. Resistant to the truth. Secondly, reprogrammed minds, corrupted minds. You know how it's reprogrammed? You can have God and you can have the world too. You can have God and you can have the world. I received it's kind of a bulletin for biblical Christianity. It's by Brother Ronald Cook. I've been receiving this for a number of years, and he's basically bemoaning the fact. He does a message here on 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. "There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you," talking about the church. And he tells the story about his mother, who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ many, many years ago. She was converted as a young woman with very little background in the Scripture. Her mom and dad were not Christians. She had no background in the Bible at all. She came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she continued to do some of the things that she was doing, but with great grief and weight of heart. She continued to go to the movies, but she said, "I sat there through the movies and I couldn't watch. I found myself cringing." She said, I got up and I left. She said, "I went to church." And the song director said, "Let's turn in our hymn books and turn to the particular hymn." And she heard this verse that she had never heard before from a hymn. "Then I bid farewell to the ways of the world, to walk in them nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where He waits at the open door." And at that point, she said, I'm not going back. I'm not going because I'm supposed to love Christ preeminently. He goes on to say in regard to this, he says, "The modern church apparently has yet to come to this place where it bids farewell to the ways of the world. For it loves the ways of the world because the way of truth, the way of the cross, is evil spoken of. It is even blasphemed in many a modern church." That hymn, "Then I bid farewell to the ways of the world." And what are we doing in the church today? We're welcoming the world in. Let's bring in the ways of the world. Wait a minute. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." The Bible still says that. It's ignored, but the Bible still says that. Defiance spreads through resistance to truth. The reprogramming of the mind to believe that it's possible, that it's absolutely possible to have Jesus and have the world too. Even in spite of the fact that God said you cannot serve God and mammon. I'm so glad that the Bible did not record another word like money or something. Mammon is a very big, broad word. It goes beyond money. It goes to the world itself, the world system, mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, when Jesus says you can't do something, you can't do it. That's where the authority of the Word of God comes to play in your heart and life. But defiance to authority says, oh, that's wrong. Oh, that's so wrong. I've seen lots of people that have Jesus and the world too, and they're wonderful Christians, are they? You better check. You're a Christian-o-meter. Something's wrong with it. It's defective. There are a lot of people that claim to love Jesus, and yet they love this world with all their heart. They love this world with all their heart. Something's wrong with that heart. Something's wrong with that heart. Let me tell you, when you get transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ, He's all that you love. Do I hear an amen on that one? He's all that you love. Nothing is more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's something more important than the Lord Jesus Christ, you better examine yourself whether you be in the faith, whether you're truly saved or not. Thirdly, what's the final outcome of these religious rebels? They're resistant to truth. They've been inoculated against truth over time. Their minds become reprogrammed with this idea and concept that I can have Jesus and I can have the world. And where do they end up? They end up reprobate concerning the faith. That's what this passage tells us. They become reprobate. That which they once had, they no longer like. They despise it. They're reprobate concerning the faith. That's the final outcome of the religious rebel. Why? Because they're headed the wrong way. It's predictable. It's predictable. Folks, there are some things that you just know will happen. You put your finger on a hot stove, it's going to burn it. And yet there are some people who say, I don't believe it. Slap your hand up on the stove. My mom, I remember, I don't know who it was growing up. Who was it?
Me.
Who?
My mom.
Oh, she had been told, the stove is hot, don't touch it. Stove is hot, don't touch it. You know what she did? She went over and touched it because they said don't do it. And she got her hand burned severely in the process. What's that?
It's like a wet paint sign.
It's like a wet paint sign, yeah. If you want to make sure somebody touches a wet paint, put a wet paint sign up. You know, for years, Dr. Hobbs used to say, you put up, don't walk on the grass sign, they'll walk on the grass. If we put up signs out here at the ballpark that says don't cuss, guess what they're going to do? They're going to cuss. Because you put up a sign that said don't cuss. I used to have all kinds of signs up out at the ballpark. After the hurricane came through, I didn't put up half of them anymore. I used to have a sign that says don't litter. Put your trash in a trash can. I used to have them up all over the place. It didn't make any difference. Matter of fact, trash was worse when we put the signs out there. Why? Because it's innate within a human heart to go against what's asked of you. That's just the innate. Somebody says, don't do it, I'm going to do it. Nobody's going to tell me not to do something. There's probably something good behind it. They don't want me to have it. You know? And so they go and do it and find out how foolish it was to do it. Like slap your hand up on a hot stove. I'll never forget, we used to have an old go-kart my dad brought home, and we loved that old go-kart. But it had a tailpipe on it about this long. And it was right out the back of the motor on that thing. And we would have a tendency, because we were so skinny and small growing up, we had a hard time starting that thing. And we would put our foot either against the motor and try to get the pull string to work. But sometimes, whenever the string would get shortened over time, anybody know what I'm talking about? We restrung that thing so many times where it had about this long of a string on it. You couldn't put your foot on it and reach the string on it. And the tendency would be to, out of habit, reach a hold when it was cold. You'd grab a hold of the muffler and pull because it stuck out so far. You don't do that when it's hot, when it's after it's been running. Because I did it. I found out how hot mufflers are. I found out many a time how hot flames can be. Just because somebody tells you not to do it doesn't mean you need to go do it just to try it. And that's where we are today in the church. We've been resistant to truth, reprogrammed minds, and now we're reprobate concerning the truth. There are churches right now during this hour across America that don't believe this book. They're studying a movie tonight. Christianity Today was carrying a whole series of churches now that are bringing Hollywood movies in there, and they study the Hollywood movies, some of them are rated R movies, to find out what biblical truth they can get out of them. I could tell them that without watching. Zero. Zero. They're going to hear a whole bunch of ugly language. They're going to see a whole lot of sex scenes. And yet there's biblical truth that we can take away from that. How dumb could a preacher be to let that become the way that we do business for God? The Lord Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear the Word of God." Preach the Word, Paul told Timothy. He didn't say, let's do something else new, and that something new comes along, you go ahead and run after that. Oh, no. Preach the Word. The defiance spreads beyond the Christian home to society through education. Ever learning. Books being written all the time. Ever learning. But never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, you don't have to have a PhD to understand the Bible. And I do not agree with the Bible colleges today that are saying that pastors today should not go into the ministry unless they have a PhD. How did the Apostle Paul do it? He didn't have a PhD. Well, society is more complex today, and so because it's more complex, we've got to understand people. And the only way we can understand people is if we go through and get a lot of education and training. Let me tell you something, God understands sinners. And He's got the remedy for sinners. He doesn't have to go, it's like old Brother Randall Douglas used to say, he said, you don't have to skin a polecat to know he's a skunk. He's a skunk! You can call him all kinds of names. Polecat, skunk, a raccoon with a white stripe down its back. You can call it all kinds of stuff, but it's still a skunk. We got all kinds of pretty names today for sinners because we've gotten away from this book. Sin's not sin anymore. It's been glossed over. It's been painted over. It's been covered over with all kinds of nice things. We need to get back to the Bible, folks. We're going to continue with this, Lord willing, in the next few services because I think we need it. We need to know what's happening today. Father in heaven, Lord, the simplest way we know how, uncomplicated, lacking all the verbose and all the flowery language, we've tried to explain to your folks tonight what's happening in our churches. There's an all-out defiance of authority. We'll take a little bit, but we won't take the whole thing. We can stand to taste the Bible a little bit, but we can't digest it because it's just got some things in there that go against what I believe. Lord, what needs to happen is salvation come to that soul. True, genuine conversion. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. The whole mind is changed then. The whole heart is converted. New way of thinking, a new life in Christ takes the place of the old sinful heart, old sinful life. The old man is taken off the throne and the new man is put in its place. Now, Father, I pray that You would help us to be watching and seeing and knowing what's taking place around us. We live in difficult days. It's not easy to preach the Word of God. It's not easy to stick to the standards of the Word of God. And people all around us are calling us and saying, listen, if you want to have a huge crowd, you've got to cut corners, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. All we want to do is preach the Bible. and honor the Lord Jesus Christ with music that brings praise to His holy name. Lord, we pray that You give us backbone and character to stand up in these dark days and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.